Good morning if you're in the United States. Good afternoon if you're in the UK. And welcome to Hot Women Rock Radio Show, Empowering Women Leaders at Menopause. And today I'm talking about what your mother didn't tell you about menopause. And I don't have a guest today because there's so much that I want to share with you to help you understand about menopause. Over the last 11 years, I've worked with women one-to-one and I've talked to many groups all around the world about this subject, and there's one common theme that comes back. Most women head into their 40s knowing very little about what's happening to their bodies at menopause and what they can do to stay happy and healthy. It kind of creeps up on them. So I'm on a mission to change that, which is why I've now written 5 books on the subject of menopause, and there's another one on the way. I can tell you more about that another week. But first, let's have a look at what's in the news this week, what's in the media about menopause. And I'm going to start with what I think is some really good news. The Boston Herald has reported that eating milk chocolate may help burn fat in a study of postmenopausal women. And in the study, which was conducted in Spain, postmenopausal women ate 100 grams of milk chocolate either in the morning within an hour of waking up or at night within an hour of going to sleep. And they did that for 2 weeks and they couldn't have chocolate at any other time. So even though the chocolate bar was 500 calories, none of the women gained weight. And the researchers found that eating the chocolate in the morning could help burn fat and reduce blood glucose levels. Now, I'm a bit of a chocolate fan. That's why I think this is good news. Although I generally say to women, you're better off eating dark chocolate because, you know, with that high cocoa fat, dark chocolate, you get a lot of benefits from it. But this is milk chocolate. It also helped to reduce hunger and the desire for sweets later in the day. They were not craving chocolate anymore or looking for sweets, said the researcher, Marta Garrelay. Eating the chocolate bar at night, they found improved sleep, increased exercise metabolism, and reduced calorie intake the next day. The key thing here is that they had the chocolate only in a narrow window of time, so it couldn't be the same if they had chocolate throughout the day. I wanted to start with good news, and there it is. The second piece of news follows on from the Bloomberg article about women leaving the workplace because of menopause symptoms and not feeling supported. So Forbes ran an opinion piece about why we need to talk about menopause and mental health. And they quoted from Dr. Jen Gunter, who's an obstetrician gynecologist, and she's the author of a new book called The Menopause Manifesto. She's also, if you're interested, if you like a good TED talk, she's done a TED talk on the subject of menopause. It's only a short one, really good. So she says, like, who wants to admit they're no longer culturally relevant, which is awful. If you feel like your last menstrual period is your graduation to sort of being irrelevant in society, that's going to change how you feel about it. Absolutely. The right mindset at menopause is just so important. And there's so many negative words around it. And Dr. Lucy Huttner in the same article says mental health disorders tend to overlap with reproductive transitions in women's lives, in part because those are times of immense physical, mental and emotional change. So, you know, just as at puberty, life was a bit of a roller coaster, but you kind of got through it because you were young and all your friends were going through it and talking about it. At menopause, you need to be talking to your friends about it. And she also talks about brain fog, and I'll talk a bit more about that when I'm talking about what your mother didn't tell you. And she says this can lead to distress, that feeling of brain fog, finding difficulty remembering words or walking into a room and not remembering why you're there. I know I can get to the top of the stairs and then think, what did I come up for? But anyway, and it can lead to distress because it can be different from your normal baseline brain activity. And women often worry they're developing Alzheimer's disease. I've come across women who've been so worried that they're getting dementia. However, what you're experiencing is mostly temporary, and the experience is really common. Dr. Gunter explains, I tell people it's like a new operating system getting uploaded. It's a bit glitchy and that happens sometimes. And then you kickstart it and it seems to settle out. So, you know, when you get a new Windows update and you think, oh no, this isn't as good as it was before. And then you settle into it and it turns out there's some benefits from it. So as long as you're not phobic about Windows, that's a good analogy. So the next article comes from History Extra, which is a UK-based website, and it's called A Time of Change, A History of Our Understanding of the Menopause. And apparently the word menopause was invented as recently as 1821, and it was a French doctor, Charles-Pierre-Louis de Gardin. Around 1700, doctors began to write about a condition they called the end of menstruation as the time of the beginning of various diseases and the cessation of menstruation and the problems that it may cause. So all the way back in the 1700s, and the cessation of the periodical discharge in the decline of life. Well, in the 1700s, I think you were probably lucky to get to 50 and to actually get to menopause, and then you probably didn't have much longer. So a little bit of historical context there. The Washington Post, again, following on from the Bloomberg article, was talking about, is menopause really driving women out of the workforce? And they start off appearing a bit sceptical and then seem to go, yeah. And it says it talks about the additional challenges faced by women in the workplace at midlife and age discrimination. Now, I find women here in the UK and the United States talking about that age discrimination as one of the reasons why they don't want to talk about menopause. As always, there are some celebrities, women celebrities in the media talking about their experience. Salma Hayek, she was talking to Sunday Times Style. She's a 54-year-old actor, and she explained that it was her idea, it was her suggestion to make her character menopausal in the action film The Hitman's Wife. Oh, sorry, The Hitman's Wife's Bodyguard. And she says that people wrongly think the menopause is when a woman stops being sexy. Sorry about the phone in the background. So, yeah, that's what they wrongly think. Another celebrity, Zoe Ball, here in the UK, she says she had her first hot flush mid-interview with Robert De Niro and Al Pacino. That has got to be some hot flush, hasn't it? She said she struggled with feeling hot, damp and red, and she could see that they were really concerned about her. Something else that I find really interesting, and I see this every month, is about reports about how big the menopause wellness market is and how it is set to grow at an amazing rate. So this month it says the compound annual growth rate for the menopause wellness market is 10%, and it's anticipated to grow by three times the value by 2031. And this is all sorts of things. It's HRT, hormone replacement therapy, but it's also supplements and vitamins and other things that all add to that market. So that's some of what's in the media and the press this month. So moving on, I'm really curious about whether you've had that conversation with your mother or whether your mother has told you anything about menopause. Because, you know, I didn't have that conversation with my mother, partly because she was a real catastrophizer about anything to do with health, anything medical. In those pre-internet days, most homes had a medical encyclopedia, a great big book that had every illness that was currently known to man in it. And my dad threw ours away because my mum was working her way through it from A to Z and it was driving him mad. So, I didn't want to talk to her about it in case she would just tell me it was the most awful experience. But actually, she had a hysterectomy in her late 30s. And her consultant told her that after the operation, she would feel like an 18-year-old. Honestly, I don't think any 40-year-old woman who's had a hysterectomy feels like an 18-year-old. And back then, I don't know, but I don't think she was offered any hormone replacement therapy. Now, normally, if you have a hysterectomy before you go into menopause, you get offered hormone replacement therapy to help to support your general health during the rest of your life. Because going into menopause early might make you more vulnerable to heart issues, it might make you more vulnerable to osteoporosis and even thyroid issues. So, my poor old mum, I don't think she was given anything like that. I think she had the operation and then she had some sort of convalescence for a few weeks and then she was left to get on with it. And when you think that around 60,000 women a year in the UK and 600,000 in the United States have hysterectomies, it's something that, you need to be taken care of. But these days, mostly women will be offered hormone replacement therapy. So it was pretty pointless for me to ask my mum what my experience would be. And one of the things that women say to me is, will my menopause be like my mum's? Because they might have noticed that mum got a bit more tired or a bit angrier or a bit more unpredictable because she was going through menopause. They might not even have realized she was going through menopause. Do you have that conversation? It's weird that women don't talk to their mothers about it, but I come across very few who do. And, a lot of women don't talk to their friends about it, their sisters. But will your menopause be like your mum's? Probably it will be a good indicator of what age you will be when you go through menopause. But it is not an indicator of what your experience will be like because your mum has eaten different foods. If she's had, well, obviously she's had children because she's had you, but she might have had children at different times. She's exercised differently. She's worked differently. She's had all sorts of different lifestyle, challenges that you haven't had. So all of those things will affect your menopause. So it's worth asking your mum what age was she when she went through it as a bit of an indicator of when yours might be. And you might ask her about her experience of it and what she did and how it was, but that doesn't mean that's how yours will be. So that's the first thing I can tell you about talking to your mother about menopause. And the first time I heard that word menopause, I was probably, I think, about 12 or 13. And honestly, I didn't know that much about sex, never mind menopause. But my brother, who was 4 years older than me, said to me, "I'm going to make sure I'm out of here before mum goes through menopause." I had no idea what he was talking about, but it was obviously important. This was obviously something that was big, and I needed to know more about it. And that was really the start of my journey to educating myself about menopause. I didn't start at 13, but his comments stayed in my mind. He was obviously concerned about how it would affect our mum and how it would affect us. And he was gone before she went through menopause. He left for university and hardly lived at home after that. So that was the first time I heard about it. And a lot of women, when they think about menopause, they walk in the opposite direction. But I decided to walk towards it and find out more about it. So after the break, I'm going to be talking a lot more about that. I'm going to be answering some of the questions that women ask me. So for now, we're off to the break, and I'll see you afterwards for more about menopause.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant. And on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you interested in having a better relationship with yourself, others, and God? Greetings. I'm your host, Dr. George Andow, for the show, A Journey Through Into Awareness. On my show, we journey into the awareness that the mind of God is the true seat of our personal consciousness. We join together each Monday at 7 p.m., so tune in on Talk Radio NYC.
Did you know that nearly one in five adults in the U.S. battles mental illness? Hi, my name is Albert Dabba. I'm the host of the show Extra Inning. Extra Innings, I discuss the topics of wellness, mental health, and the experience of surviving multiple suicides within my family. Listen live every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern to Extra Innings for discussions with sports figures, artists, mental health professionals, and many others. That's Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Welcome back. So we're talking about what your mother didn't tell you about menopause. Of course, you may not have ever asked her, so we're not blaming her. Let's get started with the basics, because in my experience of working with women clients and speaking to groups, there's a lot of misunderstanding and a lack of knowledge around the terms associated with menopause. Let's start really simply. What do I mean by menopause? So I've told you the first time I heard it was from my brother, and I had no idea what he was talking about, but it sounded serious. And I made it my job to find out what that word meant. And it was the start of my journey to becoming a menopause specialist. So strictly speaking, menopause is defined as the day a year after your last menstrual period. In a way, it's the day of your last menstrual period, but you don't know that it was your last one until at least 12 months later, because you can just suddenly have another period. I had a period almost exactly a year after I thought it was my last one. So we have to be careful. So it's going to be at least a year after your last period. So perimenopause is the term used to describe the years either side of menopause when you might experience symptoms. So it's in the years leading up to your menopause when your periods stop, and the time after that when you could still be getting symptoms. So the average age of menopause, that is, you know, the average age of when your periods actually stop, is 51 in the UK and in the USA. And that age hasn't changed a lot in hundreds of years. And it's an average, so you could experience it years earlier, or a few years later. You can start experiencing symptoms in perimenopause from your early 40s all the way into your early 60s. And about 75% of women experience symptoms. So when women find out I'm a menopause specialist, sometimes they say, oh, I had no problems at all. I'm through it. I'm great. Fantastic. 25% of women, that will be their experience. But 75% of women will experience something. 25% of that 75% will experience frequent and intense symptoms. Now, before you start shouting at your computer or wherever you're listening, yes, some people do go through menopause much earlier. In fact, you can go through menopause at any time after your periods start. Between 1 and 4% of people go through menopause before age 40, either naturally or due to medical interventions such as hysterectomy, hormone treatment for cancer, radiotherapy. Trans men may go through menopause depending on what route they take to transition. And some women just naturally go through menopause much earlier. And I will be interviewing somebody for whom that happened in only a couple of weeks' time. And that's called, I mean, it's got lovely names, premature ovarian failure or premature or primary ovarian insufficiency, POF or POI. What are the symptoms? So let's start by saying menopause is not an illness. It's a natural stage of life, just like puberty. Just as at teenage, there are lots of changes happening to your body and your hormones. It's the same thing at menopause. But those changes in the hormone levels do come with symptoms because it knocks on into your reproductive system, but also into your major hormones as well. And everyone thinks of menopause as being about the hot flushes or the hot flashes, as you say in America. But it can be so much more than that. When I started to go through perimenopause in my late 40s, I was working at a senior level in a big government department. I was commuting to London at least 3 hours a day, and I was studying for an MBA. And I felt like I needed a new pair of glasses. I just couldn't see clearly. It was like the world had gone out of focus. I hadn't heard about brain fog then, and that's the second time I'm mentioning it today. But that was what I was experiencing. And it's something that many women experience, that feeling of just a complete fog where their brain used to be. And some think they're heading into dementia, but don't worry, it does pass. So the physical symptoms of menopause can include, but don't worry, you know, you're not going to get all of these, changes to your menstrual periods. They might get heavier or lighter. They might become more or less frequent. It's not just that they gradually get lighter and more intermittent and then disappear. It can go any which way. You might get weight gain, changing body shape. So you might get a few pounds going on around the waist. Poor sleep is often an early indicator. Headaches and migraines, if you've been prone to those before, you might get more of them at menopause. Loss of bone density or osteoporosis. Dry and itchy skin and hair loss. I know, it sounds awful. There will be better news, trust me. Then there's the emotional symptoms, anxiety, low mood, mood swings, loss of confidence. Anger, some women get really angry, and a decrease in libido. Well, you can imagine if you're having hot flushes, you're not sleeping well, you're feeling anxious, it's not going to do a lot for your libido. And finally, there's the cognitive symptoms, the brain fog, the memory issues, and the lack of concentration. That all sounds a bit overwhelming, but not everyone experiences all of it. I just wanted to give you a fairly comprehensive list so that you don't think you're the only one who's experiencing those things. That can be quite reassuring to know it's not just you. Some of my clients have told me that they just take a breath when they realize they're not alone with those symptoms. So do comment if you're on the Facebook Live and tell me about what you're experiencing or what you think might be menopause. Are there tests for menopause and how do you know you're in perimenopause? I often get asked that question. Obviously, the symptoms you experience are a good clue as to what's going on and, of course, your age. If you're 50 and you're getting these symptoms, you're probably in perimenopause. You can have blood tests or saliva tests to measure your levels of estrogen or FSH, which is follicle stimulating hormone. You can even buy basic tests from pharmacies or drugstores. The problem is that your hormone levels vary from day to day. So one day you might be in what's thought of as a normal range, and then the next day the levels just suggest that you're in perimenopause. It's complicated. So you can get those tests done, and some women find it reassuring to have a test done so that they know for sure what's going on for them. I'm one of those people who I just think, well, I'll probably know. But, you know, some of these symptoms can be indicators of other things. And that's why if you're getting symptoms and you're really not sure, it's a good idea to go and speak to your GP, your medical practitioner, or, you know, if you've got a gynae that you go and visit, it's a good idea to talk to them, because things like heavy bleeding can be a sign of fibroids. Or it could be that the hot flushes are associated with your thyroid, or if you're putting on weight, it might be a thyroid issue. And if you're getting a lot of palpitations, perhaps there's something that needs looking at with your heart. So, as I say, it's not straightforward. And if you're getting symptoms and you feel like, well, I'm only in my early 40s, I don't think this is me yet, then it's a good idea to go and take advice about it and to make sure there's nothing else going on. Moving on. So what are the medical treatment options? If you go to see a medical practitioner, there are three main medical treatments that are open. The first one is hormone replacement therapy, or HRT, or HT, or just hormone therapy, and bioidentical hormone replacement therapy. I'll talk a bit more about that in a minute. Antidepressants are another common medical option, and sleeping tablets if you're really having problems with your sleep. Here in the UK, you might also get offered cognitive behavioral therapy if you're experiencing anxiety around your menopause. I'm just going to talk a bit about HRT because there's a lot of confusion around it concerning the risks and the potential benefits. I don't have time to go into much detail today, and I'm not a medical practitioner. It's something you need to discuss with your doctor or your gynae or obstetrician. I did record a very helpful interview with a menopause specialist in the States, Dr. Mesh Seibel. He is a hormone specialist. He previously used to work in the area of fertility, and then due to issues his wife was having, he switched into looking at hormone therapy and menopause, and he's written several books on the subject. If you'd like a link to that video, please contact me either by putting a comment on Facebook, or I'll give you my email address at the end. I hope to speak to him again soon on this show because I think it's really helpful. There's lots of different formulations of HRT, and they have different proportions of estrogen and progesterone depending on what your levels are and what you're experiencing. And there are lots of delivery options, such as tablets, patches, creams, pessaries, rings, coils, lots of different ways that you can get the hormones into your system. And it really all depends what stage of your perimenopause you're at and what your symptoms are, what the doctor or medical practitioner will think will work best for you. And then there's bioidentical HRT. I definitely need to have Dr. Mesh on the show to explain all of that. Bioidentical may be more suitable for you, particularly if you're a vegetarian. I know. Anyway, so after the break, I'll be talking about the other medical options, the complementary options, and how you can do some self-care with your nutrition and lifestyle. So join me on the after the break for more solutions to your menopause issues.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Hey everybody, it's Tommy D, the nonprofit sector connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host a program, Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a business owner? Do you want to be a business owner? Do you work with business owners? Hi, I'm Stephen Fry, your small and medium-sized business or SMB guy, and I'm the host of the new show, Always Friday. While I love to have fun on my show, we take those Friday feelings of freedom and clarity to discuss popular topics on the minds of SMBs today. Please join me and my various special guests on Friday at 11 a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Do you run or are ready to open your own business? Hi, I'm Jeremiah Fox. I've been operating and opening small business for the last 25 years, and I'm the host of the new show, The Entrepreneurial Web. Tune in every Friday at noon Eastern Time for insights and stories on the nuances of running small business right here on Fridays at noon, talkradio.nyc.
Hi, I am Joseph Franklin McElroy, host of the new podcast, Wise Content Creates Wealth. It airs on talkradio.nyc every Friday afternoon from 1 p.m. to 2. They say content is king. Well, wise content rules the world. Every episode features tools and tips for content marketing and business people telling the wise content stories of that success. Tune in every Friday from 1 p.m. to 2 on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Welcome back to Hot Women Rock Radio, empowering women leaders at menopause with me, Pat Duckworth, a women's health strategist and menopause specialist. So I was just touched on bioidentical HRT just before we went to the break, just a little bit more about it. It is formulated from plant estrogens. So that's why I said it was more suitable for vegetarians and practitioners of BIHRT. We'll normally take blood samples, saliva samples to measure your current levels of hormones and formulate a prescription for you that will supplement in the right ratios for those hormones. It's not something you want to buy over the internet without going to see a practitioner, because our hormones are incredibly powerful. And, you know, if you get it wrong, and sometimes even with normal HRT, the formulation isn't right for you and it can make you feel not altogether well. So it's really important to see a specialist on that. As I say, we will have Dr. Maish on the show and ask him more about it. Antidepressants may be appropriate if you're feeling depressed. Make sure your doctor tests whether you're depressed before prescribing them. Some women, when they present with menopause symptoms, they're presenting with, I don't feel well, I'm not sleeping well, I'm feeling anxious, and they end up with antidepressants rather than being tested for whether they're in menopause, and what they actually need is some additional hormones or some advice about menopause. So if you're prescribed HRT, or if you're prescribed antidepressants, or your doctor talks about antidepressants, do make sure that you're getting the right sort of medication for you. Sleep can be a major issue during perimenopause due to the night sweats, or because you're feeling anxious or stressed. And doctors generally will not prescribe sleeping tablets unless your sleep has been seriously disrupted for at least a month. There's lots of other things you can do to help yourself with your sleep. In fact, I think at the beginning of next month, I'll do a whole show about sleep because it's so important and it can be such an issue. I mentioned cognitive behavioral therapy. Here in the UK, doctors may set up for you to have a package of CBT sessions. It can be really effective in helping with issues around those emotional symptoms like stress and anxiety, low mood, anger. and it can help you to improve your mindset around what you're experiencing. Now, you might think it's not about my mindset, it's about my hormones. Well, your mindset will have a massive influence on your hormones. Our bodies and our minds are not disconnected. So, yeah, CBT can be very effective. What if I don't want medication? What are my options? When I was writing my first book, Hot Women, Cool Solutions, it was initially going to be solely a mind-body approach. I am a trained hypnotherapist, NLP master practitioner and coach, and I wanted to use all the tools that I'd learned in that field to help women. But then I realized women don't know any of the other options. So I included them all in that book, at least briefly, to say, if you're not sure about this, how about trying this? Because there are a whole bunch of options. So just briefly, a list would include hypnotherapy. Well, I've already said, you know, I do work with a lot of my clients with hypnotherapy and NLP. Homeopathy. Now, you need to find a practitioner because homeopathy supports your system where it needs supporting. So it's going to be the remedy that you would need, and the strength of that remedy will vary very much from woman to woman. Herbal remedies. Lots of herbal remedies you can buy over the counter. Things like Agnus castus, black cohosh, red clover. Most of these are, well, they are plant-based and they contain things called phytoestrogens, which are plant estrogens, and they help to support your system. Again, good idea to go and see somebody who is a herbal therapy practitioner. Traditional Chinese medicine, so Chinese herbs, acupuncture, shiatsu, all about balancing up the energy in your body. Aromatherapy, some of those aromatherapy oils can be excellent at menopause. Again, it's testing whether you have any sensitivity to them. I like lavender oil because it's very calming, it's very cooling. However, I've come across people who are very allergic to it. You can't even open a bottle of it in their presence because they get too, they actually get sick with it. So if you're going to use aromatherapy oils, check whether you have any sensitivity to them. Reflexology, lovely. Again, balancing out the energy in your body and can be very relaxing. So it's important with all of those options to find a regulated practitioner, somebody who is qualified, is insured, who's knowledgeable, so that you know that you're in good hands. You can research the regulating bodies on the internet for each type of therapy, find their registered members, find somebody who's in your area, and then you know that that person is going to be safe for you. And normally they'll offer you a free half an hour, as I do to my new clients, just so you can talk to them, chat through what you're experiencing and make sure that they can help you. So then how can my nutrition and lifestyle affect my menopause symptoms? Now, I talk about nutrition rather than diet because the word diet, you know, you don't really want to be dieting at this stage of your life because your body needs support and nutrition. And what you eat provides the building blocks for your body to make hormones with. What you eat is critical. It can either trigger you into symptoms or be part of the solution and support your body through the changes. So keeping some kind of food diary can be really good, just so you notice if there's any pattern between what you're eating and the symptoms that you're having. Every person is different. But there are some common triggers that you can reduce or avoid, and some foods that can be easily incorporated into your daily diet that will reduce or eliminate your symptoms. Exercise is helpful to staying healthy physically and emotionally. I think during the past 18 months, we've all realized how exercising helps to keep our mood in a good place, but obviously keeping our body in a good place too. Managing your stress levels is really important. This is a really busy stage of life for most women. It's busy at home, it's busy in the office, it's busy in your relationships, and so that can be really stressful. and the stress isn't helping your hormone symptoms. Those stress hormones inflame your system and they can steal some of the ingredients that your body needs in order to make the hormones that are gradually reducing. I'm going to talk about that next week, in particular with my guest, Sarah Ross, who's going to be talking about how she experienced burnout and why that is an important subject at this stage of life. I know this is going to be unpopular, my next thing, but you may find that you don't handle alcohol so well during perimenopause. That little glass of wine, the cheeky gin and tonic, you might find that they're leading to you not sleeping as well because they're giving rise to hot flushes. They're putting a strain on your liver and on your pancreas to get it increasing its production of insulin. So, yeah, that is something to notice if you're doing a food journal. Make a note of your alcohol intake as well. I'm not saying never drink again. I'm saying just notice what effect the alcohol has on you, whether it's making your symptoms worse or not, because there's lots of reasons why it would. And, you know, if you're not sleeping well, if you're feeling anxious, if you're getting hot flushes, just ruling out one thing can be really helpful. It could also be leading to weight gain, which you don't want. Getting support from family and friends and in the workplace can powerfully help you at menopause. This topic is not a dirty secret. You're not on your own. And there are so many research projects now around menopause, and some of them actually show that the more support you get, the easier it is to deal with your symptoms. Now, some of you may already know that I do a lot of work around menopause in the workplace. And women who are in the workplace who feel that they can't talk about it, that they can't mention it to their line manager, they can't even mention it to their colleagues, they're going to build up more stress around it. And I've already said that stress can be one of those things that will just make your symptoms so much worse. So think about that. Think about finding the support that you need. It may be that your partner needs a bit of educating in order to deal with it. Some women feel like they're going crazy, and some of the wording around it can be, oh, you know, she's just menopausal, like that means that you've gone a bit mad. No, you're just dealing with this stage of life. So it's really important to get support. Talk about it. It will help to build your resilience. What else do you need to do? So culturally, you know, you might live in a culture where youth is the thing, you know, youth is celebrated and getting older is an issue. In some cultures, women who get older are celebrated as the founts of knowledge and experience. And if you think of yourself in that way, rather than somebody who's heading for, you know, the trash can, that will be much better for you. So think about culturally whether you get the support you need as well. And if you're reading magazines, and I think women's magazines now, there's way more about menopause in them. And there are way more examples of older women who look fantastic, who are leading good lives, who are doing great work in the world. And taking those as your role models. I don't mean that you have to look like an 18-year-old again. You know, that ship has sailed. It's about being happy in your own skin at this time of life. And just to go back a bit to what I was talking about, the foods, because I said, you know, it's not a good idea to be dieting at this stage of life. It's really about finding balance in your foods. So not trying to look like some slim movie star. This is about having the healthy body, maintaining a healthy body for who you are at this stage of life by eating that balanced diet, by getting the foods that your brain needs, the omega-3 oils, eating the variety of vegetables, the lean proteins, and yeah, watching what happens with the alcohol as well. So after the break, I'll be giving you some of my top tips and just thinking about what's the one change you could make today that would positively support your health and well-being at this stage of life. I'll see you again after the break.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Are you a small business trying to navigate the COVID-19 related employment laws? Hello, I'm Eric Sauver, employment law business law attorney and host of the new radio show, Employment Law Today. On my show, we'll have guests to discuss the common employment law challenges business owners are facing during these trying times. Tune in on Tuesday evenings from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Gateway to the Smokies. It airs on talkradio.nyc every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7. Every episode is dedicated to memorable experiences in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park and surrounding areas. This show features experts and locals who will expound upon the richness of culture, history, and adventure that awaits you in the Smokies. Tune in every Tuesday from 6 p.m. to 7 on talkradio.nyc.
Do you love or are you intrigued about New York City and its neighborhoods? I'm Jeff Goodman, host of Rediscovering New York, a weekly show that showcases New York's history and its extraordinary neighborhoods. Every Tuesday live at 7 p.m., we focus on a particular neighborhood and explore its history, its vibe, its feel, and its energy. Tune in live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Welcome back to Hot Women Rock Radio, empowering women leaders at menopause. We're into the final sector, so I want to talk to you about what shall I do next. You've taken the first step by listening to this show. You're now further forward than most of the women that I speak to. You now know something about menopause. Listen back to it. Take some notes. Think about what it is that you want to do. Share the link with some of your women friends. You will find you're like the one-eyed giant in the land of the blind when you go back and talk to your friends, because you will know so much more than they do, and they will be grateful just to have some of these basic facts about what they're going through. If you're in the early stages of perimenopause, so, you know, maybe you're in your 40s, you've started to notice you're not sleeping so well, or you're feeling a bit more anxious than normal, or the pattern of your periods has changed, any of the things we've talked about, start planning some lifestyle changes to support your body and your wellness. This is really important. Your self-care is really important. Think about how you want to feel for the next 10 years, all the way through this perimenopause period. And what steps are you able to make that will get you there? Don't start thinking about, oh, I couldn't do this, I couldn't do that. Okay, there's some things that you can't change. Perhaps you can't fit in an hour's yoga a week, or, you know, you can't live without your chocolate or your glass of wine at the weekend. Fine. But what could you do? What little thing could you do that's going to make a difference? I was talking to a woman client recently, and she said, well, you know, menopause doesn't last that long and I feel okay. I can probably tough this out. I'm not sure I need to do anything. So I took a deep breath and I reminded her that she probably has another 40 to 50 years to live. And the decisions that she makes now will set the foundations for the rest of her life. It's worth making some great decisions. As you're going through this transition, you can be setting yourself up for a really good later stage of life, or you can ignore it hope that you get through it and see what happens. I prefer the planning and educating approach. That's why I do this work. So if you now feel like you want to be better informed, I mentioned my book, Hot Women, Cool Solutions. It gives more details on all the things I've talked about, lots more tips and much more. And there are lots of free book bonuses at hotwomencoolsolutions.com. That's all one word. I will put it on the Facebook page. hotwomencoolsolutions.com. I'd love you to access the free book bonuses. There are some visualizations, there's some workbooks, there's a whole bunch of stuff that you can just download for free, and I hope that you do it. If that's the one thing you do after this show, that will be good. Of course, you can work with me one-to-one, or you can ask me about talking to a women's group. If you've got a group of friends and you think, oh, we could all do with some help. Actually, we've been talking about this and, you know, we could all do with understanding it a bit more. Why don't you ask me? I could talk to your group over Zoom, or, you know, if you're in the UK, maybe I could even come and see you. But, you know, Zoom has made it accessible. I worked with a group of women in America a couple of months ago. We were talking about sexual health at menopause. It wasn't a heavy session. It was humorous. They all learnt a lot and came away feeling better about what they were experiencing. So have a think about that. So I just want to end on, oh yes, and if you've got an employer and you think the whole workplace menopause would be a really helpful subject, perhaps you're having a wellness day, or you know, you're planning something for International Women's Day or Menopause Awareness Month or any of those dates, I am always up for talking to those groups about what's happening at menopause. So have a think about that too. I want to finish on a really positive note. I think I started pretty positively just talking about the fact that milk chocolate can be good for you. I've definitely made a note of that one. Are there any positive aspects to menopause? Oh, yes. And last year, I had to go and see a homeopath about a different issue that I'd got, something completely different. And he'd met me at networking. And he said to me, are you still doing all that work in menopause? And I said, yeah, absolutely. And he said, I really envy women their menopause. I said, oh, great. He said, no, he said, it's like pressing the reset button. You get to have another go at midlife. He said, and men don't really get that. They just kind of slide into midlife and midlife crisis, and they don't get that chance to reboot that women get. And I thought that was an interesting perspective from a man. So what's so positive about it? I've been talking so much, I need to cough. I get very enthusiastic. So you're free from periods and the roller coaster of monthly cycles. You're not carrying around bags of sanitary wear. You're not having to think about going on holiday and whether you're likely to have a period or not. You're not on that constant roller coaster of, oh, what are my emotions going to be like? How am I going to be going to that meeting or on that date? Or, you know, all of that is over. And that's a good thing. You don't have to worry about reproductive issues anymore. If you were worrying about getting pregnant, now I am going to give you another top tip here because this is really important. I know every now and then I say this is really important, but make a note of this one. You have to carry on using contraception for 2 years after your last period. You can get pregnant even if you're not having a period, because you don't know if it was your last one. And, you know, there have been some quite sad stories about that. So carry on using the contraception. I find that a lot of women get more energy once their menopause is over. And it's that energy where you can pursue your passions. I know women who've gone on to become entrepreneurs, to work on community projects, to take up causes or charities, because suddenly they feel really passionate about something, because they're not having to think all the time about periods and family and all of that. So, I mean, since I went through my menopause at 54, I've written 5 books, I've traveled the world speaking, I've now got my radio show, I'm having a whole new lease of life. So please don't think that because you're going through menopause, it's the end. It's a reboot, it's a beginning, and there are lots of positives to take from it. And you can finally focus on that thing that you always wanted to do. So I hope that you will join me next week when I'll be talking to Sarah Ross here in the UK, who experienced burnout and it affected her life completely, changed her way of life completely. And stay tuned now for Dr. Tara Lynn talking about, I know what Dr. Tara Lynn's talking about. She's talking about racism, and she's talking today to a lovely friend, Anne-Marie Schrauder, who's talking about being brown in a black and white world. So really important subject going on there. So I hope you've enjoyed today's show. If you've got any comments, please put them on the Facebook page. If you want to connect with me, and I mentioned that earlier, the brain fog, I just forgot that I'd mentioned it. You can connect with me via my website, which is patduckworth.com. And there is a contact form there. If you want more information, if you would like links to the books, if you would like a link to the video that I talked about with the hormone specialist, just send me a message. I'm very happy to send you all of that. And if you want those book bonuses, it's hotwomencoolsolutions.com. So have a brilliant week and join me next week. If you've got any questions about burnout, then do put them in the comments and I will make sure that Sarah and I talk about it. Stay tuned now for Dr. Tara Lynn talking to Anne-Marie Schrauder, and I'll see you next week. Take care now.
Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Hey everybody, it's Tommy D, the Nonprofit Sector Connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host a program, Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Hi, I am Joseph Franklin McElroy, host of the new podcast, Wise Content Creates Wealth. It airs on talkradio.nyc every Friday afternoon from 1 p.m. to 2. They say content is king. Well, wise content rules the world. Every episode features tools and tips for content marketing and business people telling the wise content stories of that success. Tune in every Friday from 1 p.m. to 2 on talkradio.nyc.
Hey all you listeners, looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talk Radio NYC with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply send us a message on our website, talkradio.nyc.
Do you love or are you intrigued about New York City and its neighborhoods? I'm Jeff Goodman, host of Rediscovering New York, a weekly show that showcases New York's history and its extraordinary neighborhoods. Every Tuesday live at 7 p.m., we focus on a particular neighborhood and explore its history, its vibe, its feel, and its energy. Tune in live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Howdy, I am Joseph Franklin McElroy, host of the new podcast, Gateway to the Smokies. It airs on talkradio.nyc every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7. Every episode is dedicated to memorable experiences in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park and surrounding areas. This show features experts and locals who will expound upon the richness of culture, history, and adventure that awaits you in the Smokies. Tune in every Tuesday from 6 p.m. to 7 on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.